At this time, I invite you to turn to the insert for catechesis. It's the, color is this? Green colored insert. Some of this is a little bit of a repetition from last week on citizens. Jillian dressed up today to help illustrate what we're going to be talking about. She's wearing her 4th of July outfit. Yeah, so last week we talked about civil government. This week, on the other side of the holiday, we're speaking directly on the role as citizens. As citizens of the United States of America, we've been given great opportunity and also responsibilities. So we want to look to see what the scripture would have us learn about those duties and responsibilities. The first reading is from St. Matthew, chapter 22. This is Jesus speaking. You remember what happened? The Pharisees wanted to know, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And his answer was, give me a coin. Give me that tax coin. Who do you see on the coin? Yeah, Caesar. So whose coin is it? If he wants it back, he gets it back as a tax, right? So you see there, Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God's what is God's. Ah, now Caesar, by Caesar, we understand, of course, not Caesar, Roman Caesar. We don't have the, he's not around anymore. Who are we talking about?
President.
Yeah, the president, the lawful authorities, right? Our government. Yeah, so give to any earthly authority what is due to them, honor, respect, etc. But give to God what is God's. Now, what is God's? What do you say?
Everything.
Everything. Well, is it? Yes. There are two kingdoms. Sometimes we call them the earthly kingdom and the spiritual kingdom, right? There's the kingdom of faith and of belief, of his church, and then there's the kingdom of this world, this earth. They're both governed by God, but done in different ways, right? Spiritual kingdom is governed by his word in the church, but the earthly kingdom is governed by earthly authorities, who God puts in place. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, is everything God's? Yes. But do we still owe taxes to Caesar or for government? Yes. We'll learn why here in a minute. What is owed to God? Do you have to pay taxes to God? No. You know, some churches believe this. Christian churches, they say, well, if you're not giving 10%, then you're not doing your duty, right? 10% of your income, right? Not for the Christian church, no. There's no lawful tax, you know. You know, in the synagogues, you have little nameplates on the pews. Have you been in a synagogue? Little nameplates on the pew. That's your seat. But you don't get your seat unless you've submitted your 1040, right? And you've given that 10%. Isn't that something? Yeah. Well, that's not what's owed to God. What's owed to God? Fear, love, and trust in God above all things, right? As we say in the Small Catechism. All right, then you look at the next reading from Romans 13. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. It's necessary to submit to authorities. We said that last week. Not only because of possible punishment, right? We fear their wrath. We want to do good. We want them to do good. But also because of conscience. Now, what is conscience? Last night, a cartoon character came up. What's that?
Feelings?
No, not quite feelings.
The thing inside you that tells you what's right and wrong.
Yes, right. The thing that tells you what is right and wrong. It's given to you by God. Everyone has a conscience, all right? And sometimes we describe that as natural law. People know inherently that murder is usually wrong. I say usually because it seems like we don't always believe that. They know that we should get married and that marriage is for children. They know that inherently, whether they reject it or not isn't the point. But their conscience will tell them that. But notice that the Christian, their conscience is different. Your conscience is different, I should say. Why is that? You know what is right and wrong. Why? Not just because you know it inherently, but it's taught to us in the Bible. Yeah, we heard it today in Exodus 20, right? The Ten Commands inform our conscience. They tell us what is right and wrong. Would you know that you should be in church on the weekend to hear God's word if God didn't tell you? No. No, he has to tell you that it's fit for you to come each week on the seventh day just as he rested. Then you come and you rest in God's word. All right, so your conscience is informed by God's word. But notice also that Jesus, we talked about this way at the beginning. How many weeks ago? 5 weeks ago. That Jesus submitted to the civil authorities, didn't he? Yeah, which one in particular? Confess every week. We say it in the creed. Pontius Pilate, very good, right? Notice what happened when he came before Pontius Pilate. Did he say, Pontius Pilate, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. You should really let me off the hook because I'm God's son, right? No, he didn't say that. What did he say? You would have no authority at all if it had not been given to you. Do what you think is right. What is expedient, really, is what he said. What is right. Pontius Pilate washed his hands, but he ended up doing it anyway, handing him over to be crucified. He tried to absolve himself. It didn't quite work, right? But that, now, was Pilate acting outside of God's will? No, not at all. We confess it in the creed that this is actually exactly what God wanted to have happen. It was according to his providence that Pontius Pilate was the governor so that Jesus would die for your sins, that he would be the one. It also demonstrates to us, Pilate, that Jesus didn't just die for the Jew. He died also for the Gentiles. Who put him to death? Just the Jews? No. Jew and Gentile. Both courts condemned him to death. All right, so that's our conscience. Jesus submitted to it. What are some ways to submit to the government? This we see in verses 6 and 7 there. This is why we pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give full time to governing. Okay, so that's one way to submit. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. Huh? If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Those are some ways to submit. Looking, Paul then gives some instruction to both Timothy and to Titus, who are young pastors in the church, need instruction, need guidance. Paul tells Timothy, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. What is that? Or when do we do that? We still do that. When do we make intercessions and prayers and thanksgiving for everyone? What's that? All the time, that's true. In our daily prayers? How about what we just did? Yeah, the prayer of the church. That's right. You ever notice how it tries to be inclusive? The prayer of church tries to cover all the bases, so to speak. Can't always focus on a lot of detail. But notice there's always a petition for the government of some form or another. Today, for the president, we had two petitions today. We have one also regarding freedom and preserving freedom amongst us and encouraging you as Christians to be good citizens and protecting the freedom that you have in this country for your sake and for your neighbor's sake, especially the freedom of religion. So, yes, we do that every Sunday. We do that in our daily prayers. But here, Paul tells Timothy, especially for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Now, why do we pray for our government then? What is Paul actually saying? Do you believe the government is given to you by God? You say no. It's true. It has. But we don't always believe that. And that's why we pray. We pray so that we would remember what God has said about our government and about our civil leaders, that he has placed them there for our good, to punish those who do wrong, and so that we can then provide them, call them to repentance, give them the gospel, but also to protect those who do good. There especially, we pray, knowing that this government, like it or not, was put in place so that we would live peaceful and quiet lives under those authorities. It's very difficult to live peaceful and quiet lives when you believe the government hates you, or that God didn't give them to you, or that they're always at odds with you, or that governments are evil. Have you heard those sort of things? You know, Christians often say those things. It's not true according to the scriptures. Moving along, you see Titus, Paul writing to Titus here, and he gives a similar instruction to Titus as he gave to Timothy. Remind the people, that is you, the Christians, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. What is good? Again, what is it to do good? Be ready to do whatever is good. Whatever is in accord with God's law, right? If it's not in accord with what God has said, then it is not good. Remember? The things that he did, the things that he said, like creation, each day he finished the day and he said, it is good. At the end, when he created man, it is very good. right? So be ready to do those things. That means obedient to the government, but to a limit. And what's the limit? When it goes against God's word, then you are disobedient from those civil authorities. Huh? Now that's a difficult thing to imagine. Does that mean that you should go and, firebomb an abortion clinic? No, of course not. Now, what does it mean? That when the law of the land is contrary to God's word, what is your duty? To obey God's word, right. So you wouldn't submit, even though the government permits something like that, you wouldn't do it. That's the first point. Second point is, for the sake of your neighbor, you would use your freedoms, whatever freedoms you have, little or much, in this country we have many, you would use your freedom then to help your neighbor, right? So maybe it's providing support for the women's clinic that's next door to the abortion clinic, for example. To help your neighbor, to show them what is actually the truth, maybe by providing them an ultrasound or something like that, right? But use your freedom to do good, not what is wrong. So we are obedient because we believe that God has actually put these leaders in place, either to protect us or to call us to repentance. Sometimes our government actually teaches us where we've gone astray, where we have forgotten God's word. And then especially when the law goes contrary to what we know is true from the scriptures, now we're forced to actually speak against what's permitted in the world. Say, in the church, this is God's word, and it is at odds often with governments. We've been blessed in this country for a long time. The two are in harmony, but these things are changing very rapidly. Finally, we see it's not just Paul and it's not just Jesus talking about submitting to government, but also St. Peter talks about this, and we'll get a lot more from St. Peter as we look to family. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every institution or every authority instituted among men. Every authority instituted among them. Why? Why should we submit for the Lord's sake? That means that the Lord is the one who put these governments in place, as we've said many times. But also, as we learn from the example of Pilate, that the Lord himself submitted to the authorities. And we see in the example of Christ going to the cross that those authorities are put in place by God and they are there to do God's bidding. Even though at the time, the disciples didn't believe that, surely. Peter and Paul would not have believed that Pilate was doing God's bidding, but in hindsight, they did recognize that. Whether to the king as supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him, sent by the Lord, by God, to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Okay, so again, civil authorities are put in place for the punishment of those who do wrong. We want those who do wrong to be punished. Why? Well, one, it protects you, but not even selfishly. Is it good for them to be punished when they do wrong? Yeah, it is. And this is why our churches, maybe not as much as we used to, but we're active in ministry, bringing the gospel into prisons. People were incarcerated. They recognized they had done wrong often. The gospel has a great effect there because the law has done its work. In the civil realm, we proclaim that was also God working in the civil realm. And now call them to repentance, give them the forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And so this whole section about citizens teaches us not just to honor our government, not to just be obedient, but it also teaches us that we should participate in the society. And this is something that Lutherans especially have been accused of. Quietistic. Have you ever heard that word? Lutherans are quietistic, that we're not involved. And I know the things that happened with the election last year, I participated in some of them too, and there was some accusation there too that maybe I shouldn't have been involved in that it provided a mixed message. I'm just a pastor, I'm not a citizen. But I do straddle both realms because I'm also a father, a citizen and a father. We are to participate fully as God gives us freedom to do so through our government. But we need to understand the distinction. Is there mercy? Is there grace in government? Is there forgiveness? No. The government can't forgive. I know governors can pardon. But is it the same thing as God forgiving sin? No. No, he's just letting him off the hook. You're not let off the hook. Actually, God puts that law upon his son Jesus, and we experience the full weight of that through our being joined to Christ. Can Christians then participate by serving in public office? Can you, as a Christian, in good conscience, be a governor or a legislator? Sure. Especially if you see someone's running for office unchallenged that would actually do hurt or harm to both you and to your friends and to your neighbors, right? Through the kind of legislation that they would pass, the way they would exercise the law, the way you might change the law. Can you be a soldier? Yes. To protect your neighbor, to protect your government, your society. So you can be a soldier. How about, can you volunteer? Of course, right? In your community. What are some volunteer organizations that are for our government? Can't think of. Sometimes volunteer fire departments. You used to have one of those here in Dyer, et cetera. Yeah. Volunteer organizations are good too. So, again, you live in both worlds. You have two citizenships. You have a citizenship here in this country, and you have the citizenship in the kingdom of God, where your citizenship here tells you to violate God's word. What must you say? I'm a citizen of God's kingdom. That citizenship is eternal. This is only temporal. This will pass. And I must obey God rather than men. And again, I bring this up because it's something that I think we'll be asked to do more and more as Christians, to turn a blind eye to that which is immoral or unjust, and to soft pedal God's word, for example, in the face of what our society allows and what we, according to scriptures, know not to be permissible and good for the neighbor. So I encourage you to, again, obey God rather than men when that happens. Let's close with a prayer. You see the prayer there. We'll pray it together. It's at the bottom of your sheet. Let us pray. Merciful Father, grant us faith to pray for the civil authorities and to trust that you will accomplish your good and gracious will through them. Teach us to live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, and to be ready to do whatever is good in service to others in our community and nation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.